Is it just me, or does it feel like in this past year that we have been going through a constant battle? It feels like to me that every day in this past year that we have been struggling with one thing or another. No matter when you watch the news, there was always something new, a new strain or a new infection, a new outbreak here in the community. And all of this has been linked to, of course, this ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Since last year, our worlds have been turned upside down and then back around again and then upside down again. And we've seemed to be under this constant attack. We have been told that this virus is contagious and deadly, and we have to socially distance from our family and our friends. Normal life was put on hold indefinitely, and you know all of this, don't you? Non-essential businesses were told to close. Non-essential travel was banned, and I think we all genuinely thought way back in March of last year that this was going to last a few weeks, maybe a few months at worst, but here we are, over 1 year later, and we still don't know when life as we knew it is going to return back to normal again. So this last year, it really felt like we've been under attack. And for much of this past year, it looked like we've been losing and losing badly. But here's the thing. I really believe that we have to start looking at this situation from a different angle. I think, are a little bit like a boxer who has been going through a fight and he's been through a few really tough rounds. And now he's sitting down in his corner after the 11th round and he's really bruised and battered and he's tired and he's bleeding and he's swollen. And you look at him and you think, you know, his manager should do the merciful thing and he should just go and throw the towel in and end this thing. And that's the way we look at the moment, don't we? But I think the big mistake that we are making and that most people are making is that we are just looking at us. We're looking at how we perceive that we look after this fight. And the mistake that we're making is that we are not looking at the other guy. And I think if we could look at the other guy, we'd see that he is 10 times worse than we are. I think we've spent this last year looking in the mirror at how this pandemic has affected us, how we're not able to go about our lives as we used to, how we're not able to have church like we want to. But I think that we've spent way too much time looking at how we've been affected, and we've forgotten to look at what God has been doing to advance his kingdom in this last year and defeat the enemy. I believe, in fact, I know that God has been doing some amazing work in this world and in this nation in this past year, right in the middle of this pandemic. I know for us as a church, our reach out there has grown, I would say, probably up to 200% in this last year. And that more people have come into a relationship with Jesus because of what this church has done in this last year than online than had been come into a relationship with him in our physical services over the past year. God, make no mistake, has been moving in this last year. But yet, all I hear is leaders complaining and saying that you can't do church online. And I understand it's far from ideal. But I also know that we have reached people in this last year that we might never have reached in a physical service. I was talking to an online pastor the other week of one of the world's, if probably not the world's, largest online church. Now, it's not an online church only. They are probably one of the U.S.'s biggest churches too. And I asked him, in this past year, from March 2020 to March 2021, did you see a growth in salvations online? And he said to me, in March 2020, in the year up to then, they saw 16,000 people give their lives to Jesus online. Which I thought, that's amazing, 16,000 people. And then he said, from March 2020, when the pandemic hit, and churches all over the world shut or had their services curtailed, from March 2020 to March 2021, they saw 26,000 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus. An increase of 10,000 people. Don't tell me that God wasn't working in this pandemic. That's just one church. You see, you would miss that if your focus was only on how this pandemic has affected you. Through this last year, God has been working. He was never temporarily laid off. He wasn't on reduced hours. God wasn't restricted to 5 kilometers from his throne. God couldn't not only go to town for essential purposes. In this past year, God was not under a travel ban, nor was he inflicted under a lockdown of any kind. But you would think, to listen to some people, that when the government shut down our country and our churches, that they shut down God as well. Remember in 1 Kings 19, when Jezebel was chasing down Elijah to kill him, and Elijah complains to God, and then God visits him and says to him, in verse 9, he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Elijah, he was fervent for the things of God. He was a great prophet of God. And he had just killed 450 prophets of Baal and destroyed their altars. And now the tables were turned on him because Jezebel now had sent him a message saying, "I'm going to get you and I'm going to kill you." And now he is in a state where he's thinking that, you know, "Oh, woe is me. I am the only one left that's serving the Lord God." But like Elijah, we need to know that God is God, and there's nothing that he can't do, even in a pandemic. God said to Elijah, and those who think God is doing nothing today because their churches are not meeting on Sunday, God said, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah thought he was the only one left. God said, "You know, you think you're the only one. I have 7,000 more people that are ready and willing and are serving me." You need not to get in the mindset that in this last year that God has been doing nothing. God has been moving. God has been busy in this last year. Just because you may not have seen it, maybe your focus has been in the wrong direction. If you're a gamer, you're going to understand this next statement of mine. One of the greatest tragedies in life is when you fight the wrong opponent. In video game, it happens when you're playing your game and you're fighting away, you're shooting your arrows or shooting your gun at an enemy, and all the while, you're not noticing the shots or the arrows that are hitting you in the back. You see, this is what happens when you're fighting the wrong enemy. You're shooting away at someone while you're not noticing that someone is shooting away at you from the back. And I think in this last year, so many people and churches have been fighting the government. They've been fighting the Gardaí. They've been fighting the medical experts. I wish they'd put as much energy into evangelizing and forwarding the gospel in our towns and in our cities and our nation as they do in their energies that they put into Facebook and other places attacking the government. Amen. They are spending and expending all of their energies into fighting the wrong enemy. Church, we need to wake up. We need to recognize our enemy. If you don't recognize your enemy, you will lose the fight every time. Just like the video gamer who's fighting against someone that's not fighting against them, who's someone else is fighting against you and you can't even see him. You see, this time last year, we could have just relaxed and thought, "There's nothing I can do. I can't do anything about this situation, so why should I struggle?" Or we could have put all of our enemies into fighting the wrong, all of our energies into fighting the wrong enemy. "It's the government's fault I can't go to work. It's the government's fault I can't play golf or tennis. It's the government's fault I can't visit my family or friends. It's the government's fault I can't go to Penny's and buy some of that useless stuff that I bring home and leave in a bag for 6 months and never look at. It's the government's fault I can't meet my friends. It's the government's fault I can't go to church. So many people, including some church leaders, have expounded so much of their energy in this past year, directing their fight in the wrong direction, blaming everything on the government. And I know some of the decisions that the government has made in this past year, they haven't been the greatest decisions. I have disagreed with many decisions that the government has made this year, but I came to a place where I realized that the government are making decisions out of the best information that they have at the time. They have never experienced something like this before, and they don't need an amateur like me telling them the decisions that they need to make when I am not loaded with the information that they have. What I do instead of complaining against the government, I pray for them. The Word of God says we are to pray for our government. And don't pray for the government and then 10 seconds later criticize them. Pray for the government and just leave it at that. Leave them in God's hands. Church, we are in a fight, but our fight is and our enemy is not the government, the Gardaí, or the medical experts. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says in the New Living Translation, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." We have to recognize that we are in a fight, and we have to wake up to the fact of there is an enemy who is fighting his very best to destroy and take out you and God's church. And that enemy is not the government. It's not Illuminati. If you ever come across a video online that's talking about Illuminati, flick on to the next one. Go watch Gangnam Style again or something like that and dance. Maybe that puts you in a better humor. All of these things that people are watching is polluting their mind. And they are not from God. They are from the enemy. The enemy comes at us in so many different ways. The Word of God says that the enemy can disguise himself as an angel of light. So a lot of these things that you're watching online are not coming from God. They're actually coming from the enemy. We need to recognize the enemy. We need to recognize who he is. And our enemy is the devil himself. Now, I know that's where a lot of people will just switch off today. But that's okay. Let me keep talking to you who didn't switch off today. We are in a fight. And as we've said before so many times, the greatest trick that the enemy's ever played on mankind is convincing mankind that he doesn't exist. But let me tell you, he does exist, and he is real, and he is out to fight us, and he is fighting us in a spiritual battle that we won't win with sticks or stones or guns or bombs. Ephesians chapter 10 and verse 6, should I say, in verse 10, in the New Century Version, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his great power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks." The Word of God calls the enemy an evil trickster. You know, I never go to magic shows or I never go to anything like that. And not because I don't like magic or it's from the devil or anything like that. It's because I don't like people playing tricks on me. Years ago in work, we had this guy that was a trickster. I mean, you could not trust a word out of his mouth. Every time he opened his mouth, he was trying to trick you. Everything he said, everything he did, anything he asked you to do, he was trying to trick you. And everybody in work came to the conclusion that no matter what he says, don't believe him. No matter what he does, check it. No matter what he asks you to do, say no. Because he is in some way, he is trying to set you up to trick you. Church, we have a very real enemy. And his name is not the government. It's not your husband or your wife or your boss. Your enemy is the devil. And he's been trying very hard in this past year to destroy everything you like. So be careful. Choose your fights. Did your parents not tell you that? My parents did. Choose your fights. Husbands, choose your fights. Wives, choose your fights. There's a lot of fights that we fight as human beings that we shouldn't fight at all. You know, there's things maybe your wife does. There's things your husband does. There's things your kids do that annoy you. But in the greater scheme of things, they really don't matter. If your kids don't hang up a towel, you know, maybe tell them 10 times. And maybe after the 10th time, just say, listen, it's not worth the fight. Because too many times people have gotten embroiled in arguments over silly and stupid things that don't matter and have just brought a whole disquiet to their home. Sometimes you got to realize it's not worth the fight. And all the enemy has been doing, I believe, to Christians over this last year is been trying to distract us to get us to fight the government, the medical experts, the Gardaí, and everybody else concerned with coronavirus, and get us to fight them to take our focus off the real enemy, and that is the devil himself, who's out to destroy everything that God is trying to build. But here's the good news. In every battle that you come up against, God fights for you, and God gives you the victory. 2 Chronicles verses 20 and verse 15, it says, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God is your father, and like every good father, he protects you and he fights for you. In this whole coronavirus pandemic, we needed to realize that this battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's. So many people have spent so much time fighting against the wrong enemy, forgetting that the battle is God's, it is not ours. We didn't bring about this coronavirus, and there's nothing physically that we can do to stop this coronavirus. It's God's fight. We need to trust God that he has got this fight. God wants us to recognize that he is the one who fights for us. And he is actually kind of nearly saying to us, you know, tell me who your opposition is. Tell me who your enemy is, and I'll go and burst them up for you. Isn't that what a parent does? If a child has someone that's coming against them, someone that's bullying them, isn't that what a parent does? Doesn't a parent say, you tell me who's onto you, you tell me who's bullying you, and I'll go sort them out? And that's what God is saying to you and me. He's saying to the church, you tell me who's coming against you, and I'll sort them out. Our God is kind of like the mafia that way. When you prayed the sinner's prayer and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God said basically, you know, I'll protect you. And that's what our God does. He is the head mafia boss, as it were. God is out to protect us. We need to realize that. Amen? Look at it this way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. It says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. God says he will fight the fight for us and he'll give us the victory at the end of it. Amen? It says there we are more than conquerors. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I mean, that's baffled people for years. If I win the victory, how can I win another victory? If I beat the team 5-0, how can I be more than a conqueror? There's only so much spoils for... What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Well, here's what it means to be more than a conqueror. To be more than a conqueror, you have to get the spoils of victory without ever having to fight the fight. Look at it this way. Let's get back to the boxer again. You have a boxer who's got a shot at the world heavyweight title. And at the end of the fight, the winner takes all, $5 million prize pot. So the fighter goes into the ring to fight against the champion. And for 15 rounds, bruising rounds, they beat each other around the ring. And at the end of the 18th round, our challenger knocks the champion out. And the referee comes over and he lifts up his hand in victory. And our challenger, who now is the champion, he gets the belt around his waist of the world heavyweight champion and he gets handed a check for $5 million. And he puts it into his pocket. Now he's bruised and battered and he's tired and he's cut and he goes home to his wife. and he pulls into the driveway. And his wife comes out to meet him, and she throws his arms around him, and she welcomes home her champion. And the champion has the belt around his waist, which is his. But he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out the check for $5 million, and he hands it to his wife. Now, she becomes more than a conqueror, because she gets the spoils of the battle without ever having to fight the fight. And that's what it means when God says that in him, we are more than conquerors. Amen? And then in verse 38, God is confirming to us, if we didn't already know, that for I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, just in case God missed anything out, that anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God fitted everything in there. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we as Christians are to live this a passive life and ignore every challenge that should come against us. No, even though we don't have to fight the battle, we still have to show up for the fight. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and it says there in verse 1, it says, when you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near to battle against your enemy. Let not your heart be faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Church, God fights our battles for us. The problem is, way too many times we believe that if we don't fight our own battles, that God might lose. We think that if we don't roll up our sleeves and get stuck into this fight over coronavirus, we think that maybe the churches and maybe God might lose. There's nothing further from the truth. The Word of God says that God fights our battles for us, and he will give us the victory. This kind of attitude that we have, that we need to fight our own battles, is like how Peter ended up rebuking Jesus when Jesus said that he was going to go up to Jerusalem and he was going to be arrested and killed and would arise again on the third day. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22, and it says, and Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Could you imagine that? As they're walking down the road, Jesus, just after telling them that I'm heading to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be crucified, on the third day I'm going to rise again. And Peter grabs Jesus by the arm and brings him over to the side of the road, and he starts to say, far be it from you that this is going to happen to you, Jesus. Could you imagine that? Rebuking the Lord Jesus. It didn't work out very well for Peter. And verse 23 says, but Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. I wonder how many times this year have we been a hindrance to the things of God rather than being a blessing to God in this coronavirus. Jesus said to Peter, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter was thinking human thoughts, the things of man. And I think in this last year, a lot of us have been more thoughtful of the things of man. Coronavirus conspiracies, not taking the vaccine, giving out about lockdowns, giving out about face masks, rather than being mindful of the things of God. And in asking the question is, what is God trying to achieve in this time? Because as we said, God hasn't fallen off his throne. God didn't miss this one. He knew this was coming. So when we're mindful of the things of man rather than the things of God, is we're putting our trust in us working this thing out rather than trusting that God knows what he's doing in all of this. Peter done it again, didn't he? Short time later, when he pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the chief priest's servant. Matthew 26 and verse 52, then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" In this last year, if you have found yourself more concentrated on controversies and conspiracies and giving out and attacking the government and the immunologists and the Gardaí, have you been trying to take the battle out of God's hands? And have you been trying to fight this battle in your own strength instead of allowing God to do what God does best? Amen? Church, do you think that it was David's great strength that took out Goliath? Do you think that David, because he was such a skillful fighter, so skillful with a slingshot, do you think that David had weighed up the wind that day? He'd weighed up the weight of the stone and the size of his sling and the distance he was from Goliath. And do you think that he calculated Goliath's height and that he'd worked out Goliath's weak spot in his armor? Do you think that David weighed up all of those things in a fraction of a second, and it was because of David's great skill that he took Goliath out in a sweet spot? If you think that, you're wrong. David showed up for the battle. When David slung that stone, God took the stone. God took Goliath out, not David. But David showed up for the battle. God gave him the victory. Our God is our defender. He is fighting our battles for us. We got to let him. Let him do it. He knows what he's doing. Jeremiah 51:36 says this, "This is what the Lord says to Jerusalem and to you and me today. I will be your lawyer," in the New Living Translation. "I will be your lawyer to plead your case, and I will avenge you." God is saying, "I will give you the victory." Church, God doesn't want us to be out there fighting fights all around us. God doesn't want us to think that everybody, including the government, is out to get us and out to shut us down. God commissioned us to bring the good news of this gospel into all mankind, into this lost and hurting world, not to be consumed with the idea of fighting the wrong enemies. Psalms 46 and verse 10, God wants us to be still and know that he is God. One final scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says there in verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." If we're to fight, we're to fight the good fight of faith. "To lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now, I want to give you a chance to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. If you have never made that decision, this is your opportunity today to receive Jesus, make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. I love that word there, you will be saved. Will is a certain word. It doesn't say you might be saved, because might is not a certain word. Might happen. Will happen. It says if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in him in your heart, it says you will be saved. Salvation is for everyone. Verse 13 says, "For whoever," that's you, if you haven't ever done it, it's you. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If your heart is telling you today, "I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior," pray this very quick and simple prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Jesus, save me. Make me new. I believe in you, that you died for me. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can live for you. Thank you for this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, we know that you have got born again, the Word of God says. You are now a new creation. If that's you today and you feel comfortable, can you just drop us an email at info@alivechurch.ie or go on to alivechurch.ie/connect and you can also message us there. We want to help you in this journey into your new faith. We want to equip you. If you need a Bible, we'll send you a Bible. If there's anything you need, if you need prayer, we'll pray for you. But please let us know you've made this decision. I got one more thing to do today before we close, and that is I want to give you a blessing. It says in Numbers chapter 6, you can stand for this if you wish. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.